Starling's Law of the Heart. Starling's Law of the Heart is about the heart. The heart is a very, very complex piece of tissue. The heart, cardiac muscle, has three completely different functions, unlike any other tissue in the body. The first function is that cardiac muscle can conduct nerve impulses in exactly the same way as nerve tissue conducts nerve impulses. So that when the SAN fires, nerve impulses can spread through the cardiac muscle and leads to the heart beating. Second function of cardiac muscle, it is muscle tissue. Cardiac muscle can contract and relax just like skeletal muscle tissue can. So there's the second function. Cardiac muscle is contractile. It can contract and relax. Third function is probably the one that explains Starling's Law of the Heart the best. Cardiac muscle is elastic, just like an elastic band. If you stretch an elastic band and let it go, it will recoil back to its original shape. Heart muscle does exactly the same thing. Stretch cardiac muscle, and when it's released, it will recoil back to its original shape. And just like an elastic band, the greater the stretch applied to the elastic band, the more force the recoil. Same with the heart. The greater the stretch of the cardiac muscle, the greater the recoil of the cardiac muscle. Putting that into context, keeping that in our memory, when we exercise, all the blood that we have available to us is brought into circulation. We can store blood. When we're resting, we don't use all our blood. We'll have some stashed away somewhere. Blood gets stored in places like the liver and the spleen. But when we exercise, all that spare blood is brought into circulation. That means that when we exercise, there's more blood flowing around the body and more blood returning to the heart. Returning blood to the heart is called the venous return mechanism. So when we exercise, the release of all this spare blood actually increases the venous return. Venous return increases, more blood is flowing back towards the heart. As more blood flows into the heart, the walls of the heart get stretched and it's elastic tissue. The walls of the heart get stretched, and when the heart eventually contracts, it contracts with much, much greater force than normal because the heart's trying to return to its normal shape. So the increase in venous return occurs because of the release of this blood that's stored during exercise actually results in a more forceful contraction of the heart. This stronger contraction of the heart itself produces an increase in stroke volume. Starling's Law of the Heart tells us, therefore, that when we exercise, there's an increase in venous return and a corresponding increase in stroke volume because of this elasticity of the heart. But the reverse is also true as well. A decrease in venous return will result in a decrease in stroke volume. And this becomes more apparent when we talk about a thing called cardiovascular drift. In cardiovascular drift, we're considering a performer who is exercising at steady state levels, in other words, sub-maximal, on a treadmill, for example, or a static bicycle, at constant speed. So because they're going at constant speed, because there's no change to their physicality, they should be producing a constant cardiac output. If cardiac output is constant, then we should expect that their stroke volume and their heart rate increases. But if you look at the graph in the PowerPoint slide, you can see that after about an hour of exercise, what's happened is that cardiac output has remained vaguely level, no change, constant. But at the same time, heart rate has slowly increased and stroke volume has slowly decreased. And we call this phenomenon of 1 hour's exercise, or something like 1 hour's exercise, and the change in stroke volume and the change in heart rate, cardiovascular drift. Cardiovascular drift tells us that during steady state exercise, lasting about 60 minutes, the cardiac output stays constant, but at the same time, the stroke volume decreases and the heart rate increases. We need to explain why. Well, the big link here is that continuous exercise at steady state will result in lots and lots of sweating. One of the things that not that many people consider is where sweat comes from. And literally, sweat comes from blood. Sweat Gutting is the idea of removing the fluid part of the blood, allowing that water to evaporate off the skin surface to cool us down. So sweat comes from blood. When we sweat for an hour, we're probably losing the best part of half a liter of blood. That's a big chunk, 10% or more, of our blood volume. So when we do sweat after an hour's exercise, our blood volume is quite reduced. If our blood volume is reduced, our venous return is also reduced. Because our venous return is reduced, our stroke volume is also reduced. That's, remember, Starling's law of the heart. Venous return and stroke volume going hand in hand. If venous return goes down, stroke volume goes down. Also remember, our standard heart formula is that cardiac output equals stroke volume times heart rate. Well, cardiac output stays constant. The amount of blood coming out of the heart to supply the working muscles with oxygen during steady state exercise stays relatively constant. But because of Starling's law and the loss of water, the loss of fluid through sweating, stroke volume decreases during that same time. Because stroke volume decreases, to keep the cardiac output the same, we need heart rate to increase. So during steady state exercise, our heart rate increases to cope with the reduction in stroke volume that occurs because of sweating. Sweating, loss of blood volume, decreased venous return, decreased stroke volume. And the whole process is called cardiovascular drift.